Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps. So when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack and take a step on back and go to a meeting and keep coming back. And then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Courtney for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHAPAFACMA.
The CIA.
The CIA, the FBI. You got one, Shelley?
No.
The NBA.
The NBA.
The ABA.
The MPAA.
The ABA has been gone for a long time.
Got the ALA.
What's that?
American Library Association.
Oh, okay.
You can speak for them?
No.
You probably could, though.
The CTA.
They have some weird rules. No.
Connecticut Transit Authority?
California Teachers Association.
Oh. Okay.
Everybody speaks for them, so.
We don't speak for any of them there, guys. We don't even speak that well for ourselves, as will soon be evidenced by this show. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley.
And Mark.
Yeehaw! Shelly's phone is blowing up tonight from sponsees and stuff.
Yes.
How was your day today, Mark?
My day was good. I spent it doing stuff.
How was yesterday? Yesterday, 100 and something degrees and raining?
Not as good.
What'd you do, though, when it was 100 and something degrees and raining?
Went to my friend's house and sat and had a cigar.
There you go. How much better could it be?
A little bit of rain stop me from
enjoying yourself.
Enjoying myself.
How about you, Shelly? How's your day?
It's all right. I went to work. I have to process audiobooks, which is my favorite thing to do.
Well,
these are a few of her favorite things.
Yes.
Returns and dun 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 dun. You gotta be able to make a song out of it.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to work on that.
Okay. How was your day,
Bruce?
We
should do that as a show topic.
What?
My favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
We should.
Dun, 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 dun. My day was okay. I sold some stuff and I delivered some stuff, and then my wife admonished me about not picking anything up. Said they told you to take it easy for a few days. I said that was like a week ago, and I have taken it easy for a few days. Plus, it's not my heart. So it's good.
It's nerve damage in your shoulder.
Could be. Or in my arm.
That's what I'm betting on.
Or in my chest or in my back.
And if it ain't nerve damage, then I'm going to put you in my Deadpool.
Yeah, if it's not nerve damage, something's really
wrong. Hey, nerve damage, then you're circling the drain.
I already talked to my friend Terry at a meeting the other night.
Yeah.
I said, dude, if I ever start to look funky to you, just smother me. He goes, you do the same for me. He said, it's a pact.
So, just in case, though, show me how to run the board, so.
Perfect.
We don't want to miss a show.
Yeah, well, you know.
We'll just prop him up in the corner with a cigar.
Yeah.
Dude, so,
weekend of Brucey's.
Weekend of Brucey's. Oh, my God.
No, they did that with Errol Flynn and John Barrymore. Were like best buddies. They were drinking buddies. When Barrymore died of alcoholism,
mm-hmm.
It scared the crap out of Errol Flynn. Mm-hmm. And so to get back at, like, it was a big joke. His other friends stole Barrymore's body right before the funeral and mm-hmm. propped it up in his study with a drink in its hand.
Yeah.
Scared the crap out of me. Never drank again.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what's funny?
What?
Barrymore never drank again either.
No, he was dead.
Oh. That kind of precludes drinking.
Fortunately, though, they didn't have to embalm the body.
It was already pickled. Yeah.
Wow. Well.
Yes.
You know what that means.
What's that mean, Bruce?
Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. We had a great comeback on that, but the
we did.
But the takeoff wasn't so good.
Okay.
Pretty damn good cigars, Zoe.
Good cigars.
Joyo de Nicaragua, Antonio.
We have shout outs to Bill. Bill was working overtime this week, let me tell you. Bill, Fran, Deborah, Phil. And I think Donald sent one in.
We gotta start sending some stuff in, Mark, so you and I get shout outs.
Can't give shout outs to show hosts.
Jeez.
We're here anyway.
Okay.
You want a shout out, Bruce? Shout out to Bruce.
Oh, I got a shout out.
Hi, Brucey.
To Stephanie. Stephanie left a message on my Facebook, said she had never heard the show before, went and listened to it, thought it was great, started sharing the links that I was putting up.
Good.
And I discovered something.
What?
Before you get in the boozy news. If you see it on Facebook and you click the thing, it used to play it right on Facebook. Now it takes you directly to a permalink page where you can like it, leave a comment and all that. It'll ask you to register if you're not already a member, but you can like it, follow, all that stuff right on that page, playlist and everything.
Cool.
Okie dokie. This is our stupid study for the week sent in by Bill.
Bill.
Out of
it's
New
always
York,
Bill.
Yeah.
A new study has shown, well, actually, the story is from New York, but the study was done in New Zealand. The study was done by professors at the University of Otago in New Zealand. They found that teens who routinely smoke marijuana are probably going to have a long-term drop in their IQ.
Dude.
Where's my car?
Yeah.
Is that big news?
Well, that was their big study from New Zealand. They were tested. The kids were tested for their IQ, given an IQ test at age 13. 5 years later, when they were 18, the ones that reported smoking pot regularly were tested again, and their IQs were actually lower.
I think we should do a study that proves that people who live a long time tend to die of old age.
Does anybody, besides me, probably not, but does anybody ever wonder how much more intelligent you'd be at this very moment if you hadn't burned millions upon millions of brain cells over the years?
No.
No.
I wonder that all the time. You know what my big fear is? We only use, what is it, like 3% of our brain?
Yeah.
My big fear is that all the brain cells I burnt were in the other 97%, and someday they'll find a way to unlock the other 97% of the brain we don't use, and
maybe
I'll be a
idiot.
Babbling idiot.
You'll still be a dipshit, huh?
How will we know?
Yes.
Yeah.
You won't. You won't even be able to relate to me because you'll be so advanced compared to me. I'll be like, hello, Daddy.
Okay. Anyway.
Shelly and I'll be talking in some language where we really don't speak words and you won't know.
In San Francisco.
Vulcan mind meld.
Salvatore Cordiglione. He's 56 years old. Cordiglione. He was appointed by Pope Benedict to preside over 500,000 Catholics. He's the new Archbishop of San Francisco. He is also the newest member of the priesthood to get a DUI.
Yay!
he was stopped on Monday when he was driving his mother home after going to dinner with friends and was found to be over the legal limit, although it doesn't say how far over the legal limit. He has apologized for his error in judgment.
There's a cop going to hell.
I know. It's like, you know, I was rear-ended once. I didn't get an accident. It was like that accident you had where there were three cars. Rear-ended, and I managed to stomp on the brakes hard enough that I did not hit the car in front of me. So it didn't end up being three cars in a row. But the reason I had to stop short was because the car in front of me dropped their transmission or something right in the middle of the road, and they suddenly stopped.
So what happened to you?
So I did not hit the car in front of me, but the lady behind me hit me. And she was all upset, and she's all tearful and everything. And we go to exchange information, and I find out she's a minister. And I'm like, okay, you know what? It's only a tiny dent. Let's just forget it. And she said, well, are you sure? And I said, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not going to sue a minister. I'll go to hell.
And what did the minister do to you?
She just rear-ended me.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
You know what? You are just rude. Jeez, old Pete.
I kind of would like to have seen that.
We got a Lilo story.
Lilo!
This is a weird Lilo story. I mean, like, they're not all weird, but this one's really weird. Lohan and a few friends went to a house party. This guy, Gavin Doyle is her assistant. The guy's name actually isn't listed here.
How'd you like to be Lilo's assistant? Oh, my God.
Anyway, they went to this party, she and, like, three friends. During the party, the man who owned the house called police and claimed that $100,000 worth of jewelry had been stolen.
I saw that.
Now, he has later recanted that and said that nothing was stolen, but the police are still investigating Lohan, well, mostly her friends, because what they believe happened was that she provided the distraction while her friends ransacked the house.
Nice.
But the thing is, now the guy is claiming that nothing was stolen and has gone to the police and said this, but they're still investigating her.
I don't
understand that.
Well, here's the thing, too, and I'm not sure. Maybe you guys know. She still has an ass load of money, right?
Not so much.
Really?
She's lost a significant chunk of her fortune to lawyers. She's actually had to sell property and stuff to stay afloat.
Yeah, she had to sell 2 of her 7 estates or something.
Okay, so she's still got money.
Yeah.
I mean, she just did a couple movies recently, so.
Yeah. That doesn't mean her friends do.
Why does she need $10,000 in jewelry?
$100,000 in jewelry.
Yeah, but the guy didn't lose anything.
She didn't steal it.
I know. That's the whole point. That's why I'm not understanding why the cops are still investigating her for the robbery when the guy now claims that, whoops, I found it. There was nothing stolen.
She didn't steal it. She just blew the guy while everybody else was tearing through the house.
Okay.
I don't have that much jewelry.
Neither do I.
I mean, yes, I easily have that much jewelry, Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, you just want to get her to come over here.
Come distract me.
Okay, at Penn State football
games.
Be
willing to help the police.
Yeah.
In the future, you will no longer hear the song "Sweet Caroline," which has long been a traditional hit.
Because it was Joe Paterno's favorite.
Fan participation and the whole bit. The reason for that is because of the lyrics. Specifically the line that says, "Touching me, touching you."
We've gone a little bit round the bend here.
Okay, that's stupid.
Well, it's a
Penn
State game.
We've gone a little bit round the bend.
So what?
They're trying to be sensitive to, you know, the issue.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Things are getting a little out of control in Happy Valley.
Well.
I'm sorry, State College.
They already, what did they replace his statue with? They replaced his statue. They took it down and replaced it with something.
Who's?
At Penn State. Joe Paterno. Isn't you talking about Joe Paterno?
No, Sandusky. Yeah. Oh.
Well, they took Paterno's
statue.
It's
the same place, right?
They took down Paterno's statue?
Yeah.
Yes.
Why?
I don't know.
Because they've gone around the bend.
Well, because he knew about it.
Yes.
He knew about it and did nothing. You're right. He didn't do anything.
Hmm. All right.
They replaced it with a Catholic priest and an altar boy.
Oh, Mark.
Glass of milk and a cookie.
Pete. Okay, we're going to Norway now. An art gallery has lost a Rembrandt etching. Now, it's not expensive etching. It was made around 1658. It's worth about 5,400 pounds. Well, actually, in their money, it's 40,000 to 50,000 crowns, which
I would think
like
it'd be
more.
Worth more than that. I don't know why.
That particular etching isn't.
I know, but still. It's a Leonardo da Vinci from
the 16... No, it's not. It's a Rembrandt.
It's a Rembrandt from the 1600s. Seems like it should be worth more than 5,000.
Okay, well, it's worth 40,000 to 50,000 crowns if you want to go with Norway money.
Yeah, and how many crowns do you own, Bruce?
Well, I probably own a lot of crowns if it's like 8 to 1, which is what it sounds like. It
you have to actually pay with crowns.
Oh. Well, then I don't
have
any.
Crowns, see? So you're broke. So
at any rate,
I'm broke.
So 40,000 crowns is a lot.
At any rate, they've lost the etching because
they
were too cheap to pay to insure it and register it with the postal service when they sent it somewhere.
Oops.
It's now lost in the Norwegian postal system.
I wonder which Norwegian guy is about to retire.
They got a notice that the package had come back to them. They went to the post office to pick it up, and it wasn't there. The post office is offering them 500 crowns in compensation for a 40,000 crown item. I think the moral of this story is if you're going to send something that is a priceless masterpiece, you might want to insure it.
Apparently, it's not priceless. It's only worth $5,000.
Okay, well, whatever. Yeah. Okay, then we've got two stories about women.
Sweet.
I'm wondering why we... Please stop. I am wondering why we, women in America, did not think of this when we wanted to effect major political change. Because this would be an awesome idea. Because if all the women in America did this, the guys would have no choice but to vote the way we wanted them to vote.
Withhold sex?
Yes. The women in Togo have called a sex strike in order to try to get the president of the country to resign and to repeal some laws that they don't like that affect their children.
The prostitution trade is going to go through the ceiling.
The president immediately brought 40,000 women in from another country.
Imported a bunch of helpers.
I think that's an excellent idea.
From Shanghai.
And it's
that's
not
it. I ain't giving you any now.
It's not.
I have to do without.
It's not exactly an original idea, though. It was, what was it, Lysistrata? The Greek play?
Yeah.
When the women stopped putting out. I think it was Lysistrata. Anyway, I'd have to look that up. The next female story. Now, I know that Bruce would be totally all over this in more ways than one.
What's her name?
Demonstrators. There have been there are demonstrations in the U.S. that are starting up that are going on that are supported by an organization called Go Topless.
I'm all over that.
Yes, I know you are. And apparently these protests have been going on for 5 years now, periodically, and I've never heard of this before.
Where do we go see them?
Well, you can just look it up online. There are pictures.
Where would I go interview these girls for the show?
Yeah, right. I don't know. It did. Let's see. Asheville, North Carolina.
That's pretty far.
They were celebrating National Topless Day.
There's a day for this?
I guess that was today, yeah.
It was today?
I guess. It was a new story.
Get to it, Shelly.
I should have left the house more.
So anyway, hundreds of topless women took to the streets. They're raising questions about the inequality shown between men and women when it comes to baring their chests in public.
I agree.
I support it.
They said that I'm quoting here, it's appalling that even female officials like the mayor of Asheville, North Carolina, are supporting the men who oppose topless gender equality. Who are these men that are opposing topless
gender equality?
Yeah,
who are these idiots?
Equality?
I'll support them from behind with both hands.
Yeah, I'll bet you will. Oh, brother.
You know what it is? And I'm sad to say this because I tend to be kind of conservatively to the right. It's probably the way extreme right that's all head up about this. This is where I become Democrat for a moment. Bear your breasts. Nah. It's okay.
Interestingly enough, I have a grammatical error in this story that made me chuckle. Because it's the question or the statement says, raising questions about the inequality shown between men and women when it comes to baring chests in public. Baring spelled B-E-A-R-I-N-G.
Instead of B-A-R-I-N-G.
Yes.
Who did the story?
Oh, like Rick's Features.
Some guy who had to carry the chests, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, let me do one more quick one. Out of Del Mar, Maryland. A chicken farmer lost 70,000 chickens. They all croaked. 70,000 dead chickens because a 21-year-old named Joshua D. Shelton, who had gone to a party in the area with the chicken farmer's daughter earlier in the evening, was found in the shed, the chicken shed.
Oh, no.
Wearing only a T-shirt and his boxer shorts. He was lying in a pool of his own urine, and he smelled strongly of alcohol. So he was completely drunk, walked into the chicken shed, and then shut off all the electricity. And then passed out on the floor.
So why would that kill all the chickens?
I don't know. That is what I am... And apparently this guy, the chicken farmer, said that if the circuit breakers were cut to the chicken shed, that the chickens would begin to die within 15 minutes. Are these chickens on life support?
Is it really hot, maybe,
Where are
or
these
something?
Chickens?
I think he was trying to bang all the chickens.
That was exactly
that's where I thought this was going.
I thought he made 70,000 attempts.
I hope he remembered to tie their legs together.
He didn't have any pants on, so you never know. But
you got to tie the legs together.
Why? If they turn off the power. I mean, chickens, like, normally, if it gets dark, they just go to sleep. I mean, why would turning off the power?
It's got to be some, like, there's fans or something like that.
Not only do I not know.
Let me guess, you don't care.
Thank you.
Okay, well, whatever. That's the end of the movie.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101.
Shout out
to the New Way Foundation
and Sober College at selfwillhappens.com.
Check it out.
Check it out. So, Mark.
Yes.
We have a topic.
We do.
Do you remember what it is?
No.
Shelley?
Nope.
What's our topic, Bruce?
I don't know either.
Allskate.
No, it was...
Preventing relapse?
Relapse prevention, yes.
Relapse prevention.
Most people are preventing relapse by listening to this show right now.
That's how I do it.
I'm sorry.
Oh, by the way.
Yes.
Mark, if I needed a show.
If you needed a show?
If I needed a show, you're in the right place. If you needed a meeting.
Uh-huh.
What would you do?
I'd sit a little closer to the computer and turn up the volume.
Nice. Shelley. If
yes,
you needed a meeting.
I'd put on my shoes and go to a meeting. Right now. Get up. Put on your shoes. Go to a meeting. Right now.
Wow.
Get up. Get out of bed. Run a comb across your head.
I guess she wouldn't. She's texting her sponsee.
Yeah, I know.
I think.
Let's ask her a quick question while she's got the microphone in her lap.
Yeah. So how's that relapse prevention working for your sponsee?
Right now it's working okay.
Because she's calling her sponsor.
Right.
Or in the new version of things, she's texting her sponsor.
Right.
Yes. So, obviously, all these standard things would apply, you know.
Yeah.
And it's obvious to us, and I'm assuming it would be obvious to most people, but if you want to prevent relapse, you go to meetings, you work the steps, and you work with your sponsor on a daily basis, and you help other addicts and alcoholics.
You know what another good one is?
Uh-huh.
Don't drink or use.
No matter what. Yeah. But what kind of justifications? Like, we know a guy right now who's trying to get into a sober living place.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, well, anywhere except this place.
Yeah.
I don't know if preventing relapse goes along with starting to put conditions on things.
Yeah. I really like, though, that he calls up, where should I go? Well, I don't know. How about the New Way Foundation?
Yeah.
How about our sponsors?
Yeah.
Tell them we sent you, you know.
Absolutely. But so. What do you guys think for... I'm a new guy, and I'm having problems with relapsing. I mean, the thing is, it seems so easy to me because I've been doing it so long. But how would you put it to a new guy? Either of you guys, new girl, new guy, whatever.
Go to a meeting.
that always starts well.
Yeah. Call your sponsor before you relapse.
Pick up the 1,000-pound phone.
Yeah. Yeah, and push the electric-charged buttons.
Yeah. That pretty much always works, too.
Yeah.
Unless you really just want to drink. And yeah, then you're not going to be able to prevent your relapse anyway.
If you called me and said, I'm going to go get loaded, I'd say, where are you? Hopefully they're not at a bar in Bakersfield.
Yeah. that's why, where they like to call me from.
That's why I would ask first.
And, I didn't think of that. Yeah. I just said, I'll come get you.
Yeah. Go to a meeting, call your sponsor, read the big book, work a step. Or better yet, don't do anything for an hour and see if you still feel like doing it.
How about you, Shelley?
What was the question?
What would you say to people to help them prevent relapse?
No, sorry, I was thinking about something else. I don't know, probably what I did.
Shelley goes, I was thinking of relapsing.
Probably what I did. Like Mark said, where are you? Okay, you're close enough to the club. Go hang out at the club. I get off work at 3 o'clock. Can you hang on that long? Okay, while you're at the club, read your book. Read, you know, I think I told her to read chapter 4 or 5 or something. 3, I don't know. It's kind of immaterial what you have them read because the whole point is just to occupy them till you can get there.
If they walked into the club and said, when they walked through the front door, I want to get loaded, somebody would probably...
Yeah, I was counting on there being people there that she would talk to. Yeah.
Numerous people.
So that's why I sent her there. And then I did, once I got off work, I went straight to the club.
It's a she.
Yeah.
You sent her, I feel like getting loaded. Hey, baby.
No, she was sitting exactly where I told her to sit, at the counter or in a meeting.
Yeah, at the counter. You know what that counter used to be?
A bar.
A bar.
Yeah. I know. But... It worked.
No, good. Yeah.
You know, I know, Bruce, you said what you said to be funny, but if a female walked in someplace and you and I were sitting and they announced they wanted to get loaded, I don't think either one of us would say, hey, baby.
Oh, no, no, no. You and I would be the ones stopping the other guys that would say, hey, baby, because you know what? All it takes is for a decent-looking chick to go in somewhere and say, I feel like getting loaded, and there's some guy there that's probably already getting loaded that goes, score. That's why you need older people around to go, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Mr. Fancy Pants there, she should be talking to a woman.
Yeah.
And no, you the lesbian, sit down.
She actually wasn't talking to anybody when I got there. She was reading her book, which is exactly what I told her to do.
Well, that's good. She took direction. She called her sponsor and took direction.
Yeah, she did. But then part of the problem, the way I see it, is that the relapse actually starts long before the drinking and using begins.
Yeah.
So sometimes, at least with, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, I don't know, a bunch of the ones that I've sponsored, they may call me right before they relapse, but they've already decided they're going to do it, and they're just calling me for form's sake. So nothing I say, none of my suggestions, they don't take them, they don't do it, they just go and use.
I always tell my sponsees, I'll either talk you out of it or go with you.
Well, how about this? Let's talk about this for a moment. In with relapse prevention. We did a show on this once.
Yeah.
Prelapse.
Yeah.
You know, prelapse is where you start effing up all the things you should be doing.
You stop going to meetings.
That cause you to get in a predicament in the
first
place.
You stop reading the book and you stop working a step.
You know the funny thing, relapse prevention, probably what do you think the greatest single thing is that you can do?
I didn't go to meetings. That was the number one thing people say.
But what does the big book say is the thing that above all things will prevent you from drinking?
Work with another alcoholic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or another addict.
Yeah.
And that does not work, does not mean 13th step.
Yeah.
Or another gambler.
But if that's what you have to do.
Another food addict. Well, there would always be the guy that would say, while I'm banging her, I'm pretty sure she's not drinking.
Alcohol.
Oh, man, he went there. Did you hear that, Shelley?
Wait till you hear the story we've got on the next show.
You threw the pitch. I had to take a swing at it.
So Sunday. Ooh. Wow. So, the pre-lap, Shelley. What about pre-laps? Setting yourself up to relapse.
Well,
what should people avoid doing to do that?
For me, it starts in your mind. I mean, I had it set in my mind, you know, okay, I'm not drinking right now, but I'm going to drink again. I know that. I'd already decided that I was not going to be sober forever. I was not, you know. Yeah, you're supposed to do it one day at a time, but the one day at a time thing doesn't work for me so much. I have to just say, I'm not going to do this anymore. Period. Because if I do it the one day at a time thing, then I'm going to do exactly what I did, which was plan when I was going to do it.
Hmm. It's a good point. I remember being that way when I used to tell people, they'd say, I'll stay sober today, but I might get loaded tomorrow.
Me too.
I have to be very careful with that statement because I have a brain that works like a computer virus. It works in the background. So I'm like, well, I'll stay sober today, but I might get loaded tomorrow. My subconscious instantly starts working on that. Oh, really? We might get loaded tomorrow? What can I do today to help F things up so that I can get loaded tomorrow?
Go ahead.
I will absolutely do that.
And play it all the way through today and then make your decision.
And I tell people all the time, because I say it all the time now. I'll say it right on the show. I am never getting loaded again. I am never getting loaded again. That's it. That's it. The funny thing is I had such a hard time with one day at a time, and I don't know why. Because I got loaded one day at a time. I wasn't planning tomorrow. I was taking all the money I could get today and buying as much as I could today and doing as much as I could today. Tomorrow, I'll worry about that, you know, when it gets here.
You know where one day at a time works for me, actually, is in everything else that helps keep me sober. If I do one day at a time on everything else in my life, not the alcohol, but on everything else,
mm-hmm.
then that means that I'm not overwhelmed, I'm not overloaded, I'm able to think a little more clearly, and that will help keep me sober.
What's your number, Bruce?
Yeah, he's got about a 6 or 7.
About 7.
Okay.
I still have a little pain left every now and then.
A little pain?
Right now I have
quite a lot of pain.
I have a goodly modicum of pain at the moment. It will pass.
This too shall pass.
Yeah. I loved it in the hospital when they told me, want to talk about relapse prevention in the hospital? Maybe we should give you morphine. I'm like, maybe not. And the guy goes, why not? And I'm like, I'm a dope fiend. And I'm like, here's what the problem is. I've always said, if I get in an accident, give me whatever they give someone that gets in an accident. You know, if my limbs are falling off, whatever. But I know that this pain I'm experiencing right now is going to be gone in about 3 minutes. So why would I be taking morphine for it? Because the morphine is going to work for like 6 hours. It's a little excessive for a 3-minute pain. Even if it is a 7 or 8. I mean, it's only going to be for a couple few minutes.
Well, if you knew that, then why'd you call the nurse?
Well, because I wasn't thinking they were going to. I don't think they just give you morphine for a heart attack, right? Don't they do something else?
Well, that's right. You actually thought you were having a heart attack.
Yeah, I thought I was having a heart attack. It was 3 in the morning, and I got a sharp pain in my chest, probably an 8 or a 9. My entire arm went numb, and I was sick to my stomach.
Those are three signs.
I pushed the button. I said something like, they're like, can we help you? I'm like, yeah, if someone wouldn't mind coming down to help me for a second, I think I'm having a real problem. The guy came running into the room. Are you okay? Are you okay? I said, I don't know. I told him what was up. He's looking at my EKG. He says, your EKG is fine. He says, but we could give you morphine. Relapse prevention. Let me think. I don't really think I need it for the 3 minutes I'm going
to
hurt. I just thought maybe my EKG was off or something.
I was on morphine at 7 years of sobriety.
I sent Shelly a goodbye text message, just in case.
Okay.
And?
I was in the hospital with spinal meningitis.
Yikes.
And it took my father and my sponsor to talk me into letting them give me the morphine. And they said, No, he needs the morphine. He's
Spinal meningitis too.
Yeah, it was the pain wasn't going to go away in 3 minutes.
Yeah, and that's a problem. You know, they kept giving me things. They're like, here, nitroglycerin. I'm like, okay. They're like, did it make the pain go away? I'm like, the pain is gone. I go, here's the problem. Pain would have been gone in a couple minutes anyway. So I don't know if it's the nitroglycerin that took it away or not. And now that I look back on it, I don't think it was ever the nitroglycerin that took away the pain, because I don't think that's what's causing the pain.
The last time that I was in the hospital for pancreatitis, they put me on a Demerol drip right when I got there. So that, like, you just push the button when you have pain.
Dilated.
Oh, man.
No, it was Demerol, not Dilated.
Demerol. Shelly, Demerol? Damn good shit.
I hate the way it feels. It burns when it comes in your arm. I hate it.
I never noticed that.
Oh, it burned. I was like, ow, ow, ow. But then missed. The burn goes away after a few seconds.
You know
seconds.
What? That's usually what happens when you miss.
Yeah. Well, no. At any rate, I did not like the Demerol. I mean, because for some reason, I've had Demerol before for like headaches and stuff like that too when I've gone to the emergency room.
I feel like Hannibal Lecter for a second.
Whatever pain I'm experiencing, for some reason, the Demerol really doesn't do much to the pain. Well, it just makes me not give a crap.
Yeah, well, that's the case with almost every painkiller there is. It's not that it stops the pain. You just don't care as much as you have it.
And then all that ends up happening is I, like, keep falling asleep. I'm like, my head's bobbing around like a bladder on a stick. I'm like, I really don't like that. I want to stay awake. I don't want to be falling asleep every 5 seconds.
A bladder on a stick?
Yeah, you know, those little comedy things that the clowns whack people with.
Oh. They meant an actual bladder.
No. At any rate, I didn't want to feel like that. So I purposely did not push the button when I was in pain.
How about this?
I didn't want any more. Because I knew that the longer I was on the pain medication, the longer they'd keep me in the hospital. So I stopped pushing the button. I refused to push the button. And they kept coming in and saying, are you in pain? Yep, I'm in pain. Well, why don't you push the button? I don't want Demerol. And I finally convinced them to give me Tylenol.
Else.
Yeah, I finally convinced them to give me Tylenol. And I got out of the hospital a lot
faster.
I was like those people who they're on that thing and you see them hit the button like 20 times. Like,
yeah.
That's gonna
ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that works the first time you hit it and no more after that.
Well, it's like every, you can hit it like once every like 15 minutes or something like that.
Yeah. I had a buddy whose name was actually Mark that was in the hospital. They gave him one of those. And he goes, I knew the moment I had it, I was done. Because talk about relapse prevention. Look at this. This guy gets a thing that's a clicker with no supervision. He knows the moment he gets it that he should tell them, that's not the way you should give it to me. And he told me, he goes, I knew the moment they gave that to me when I didn't stop them from giving it to me, because I could have stopped them and told them I don't want a clicker like that. He goes, I already knew I was done. And he clicked all the way through the first one. A nurse came in and hooked up a second one. The shift changed. He clicked through one. They had shift change. The nurse came, gave him a new one. She goes to come back in like 2 hours later, and it's gone. And she looks, and she goes, that's the second one you've gone through in like the last 6 hours.
I'm in pain.
And she said, you're not getting any more. And she goes, I will call the doctor to come in and see you personally.
Perfect. Well, you know, I think
it's like 160 times or something in 6 hours.
It's a really good idea to let your doctors know that you're a drug addict.
That's a little relapse prevention.
Yeah. You know, my doctor prescribed this. Does your doctor know you're a drug addict? No.
You might want to tell him that.
Now, do I tell my doctor? I tell my doctor anytime he's going to give me anything, because I also tell him, don't write it in my chart.
Why?
Hmm?
Why?
For insurance reasons.
I tell them I'm allergic to most narcotics.
Yeah. I am actually allergic to morphine.
Yeah. I just tell them I'm allergic to narcotics.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, really? And I go, yeah. So I'm allergic to alcohol, too. And they look at me and I go, yeah, that kind of allergic.
Makes you break out in handcuffs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Shelley. Do-do-do. What are your final words on relapse prevention?
Only you can prevent forest fires.
Thank you,
what's
smoke.
In your soda?
Thank
what's
you,
in your
Smokey
soda
the
can?
Bear.
What's in your soda can there, Shell?
Well, no, in a sense, actually, that's true. I mean, before you got to the program, before you got any recovery, whether or not you had a drink or took a drug or whatever was largely out of your control. You didn't know how to stop. once you get in, you get a little bit of recovery, or you get like a foundation. If you decide, if you're going to go out, then it's on you, because you know there are tools. You know, then it's your fault. You did that on purpose, because nobody ever tripped over a bottle of vodka and it miraculously wound up in their mouth. You know, so if you think that your thinking is leading you down that path, then you need to do something about it. And, you know, nobody can read your mind. It depends, you know, if you want to stay sober, stay sober. If you don't, you don't.
Mark, final words. Relapse prevention. That was a good one, Sean.
It was. The forest fire thing was really, really catchy. I liked
it was
that.
Goofy at first, yeah. And then when you explained it, I could totally see it. Much better than what I'm going to give.
I think my final words are that keep coming back. It works. If you work it.
Similar.
That would have sounded a lot better in your microphone.
That would have been a lot better in the microphone, Shelley.
Well, I hate that at the end of the meeting when the little thing goes on for like 20 minutes. Yeah. You're like, it works if you work it. And you're worth it. So just do it.
And it won't if you don't.
So, yeah, and you're worth it. So just do it. I'm like... Geez, I could have been home by now.
Yeah, so just stay.
Mine is work your program to prevent your relapse.
Or better
really
yet,
basic.
Work the program.
Meetings, steps, working with others, work with your sponsor, and you should be okay.
I think working your program is what got you there. I think it'd be a good idea to work the program.
The program. Don't forget the 7 little words.
Don't drink or use, no matter what.
Shelley, who is our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat?
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can read his fine publication online. You can have an email to you, or you can subscribe, and he will send it to you in the post. You can also actually go onto Facebook and type in 12-Step Gazette and join the Facebook group there.
Yeah, you can.
Could use some more participation from someone who is not Pastor Chris. Although Pastor Chris is a fine individual, it's just getting vehement.
I told Pastor Chris to go listen to our show on Celebrate Recovery.
Oh, good. Oh, and you can also inquire about franchise opportunities to bring the 12-Step Gazette home with you.
Yeah, he'll give it to you like basically turnkey. All you've got to do is sell some advertising around your own area, and you can make some money. Should do that. I know no one needs a job right now. Mark.
Yes.
So someone's listening to the show.
What are you thinking?
Yeah. So, if you could tell us
show,
why you are, we'd
much.
Appreciate knowing.
If you're listening on recovery101.net, we also thank you even more. If you're not listening on recovery101.net, we ask that you go to our site, listen to the show from our site, click on the show. Once you're on the site, you can click like. If you're already a member, thank you. You've been counted. If you're not, it will ask you if you'd like to become a member of Podomatic. If you join Podomatic, you can then...
It's free.
It is free and it's fun. And you can like the show and leave comments. And you can add us to your rockin' playlist.
Bow chicka bow bow.
And follow the show and do all the stuff we need you to do that really helps our ratings out there.
Leave us some comments with some topic suggestions
there
and stuff.
Or you're going to listen to more of this.
Or when you're listening, you listen to a show, mm-hmm. you like something specifically in the show, or you don't like something, or you think of something new that you think we might want to do, put it in the comment box.
We got a group that races to be the first ones in the comments now.
Yeah, we'll check it out. Oh, because I put it on Facebook?
Are they putting first in the thing?
Yeah.
I put one up the other day. I said, I'm going to go put this on Facebook right now. Let's see what happens. And then, like, 2 minutes later, someone's like, I'm here. And I'm like, and they're already commenting. I'm like, you couldn't have even heard the show yet.
Yeah.
Because the show's 45 minutes long.
Yeah. And,
you're posting 3 minutes after I put it up.
Yeah.
Awesome.
They're not drug addicts, are they?
Actually, the other day, I think it was 35 minutes later because I didn't post it on Facebook right away. So I let it sit. We've got email addresses at recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff at Recovery101 Radio Sales at gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101 Rule 62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure don't.
No.
You. Shelley.
Yes.
Who is the rockin' lead out music by tonight?
Evolove, and it's called Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call by Evolove. Everybody, you know what? You can click on the bands, too. Their pictures will take them right to their Facebook. You can check them out.
You can click on a whole bunch of stuff at the bottom of the show.
You could. Sweet. Pretty soon.
Dude.
I'm working right now with a printer and possibly a web designer through another trade organization I'm working in. They may be willing to. They do shirts and stuff, too.
Okay.
Uh-huh. They might want to be the official printers and the official web designers.
Okay.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
You bet.
Keep changing.